Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. A premature baby is one who is born too early. The earlier in pregnancy a baby is born, the more likely he is to have health problems. Premature birth, also known as preterm birth, is the leading cause of death in children under five around the world, according to some statistics. Health experts and advocates say it is important to raise awareness about complications from preterm birth. In Nigeria alone, in 2015, there were 871,000 premature births and 87,000 deaths due to premature birth complications. We will discuss preterm birth on our program today, and our guest expert is Dr. Paul Jarris, Senior Vice President for Maternal and Child Health Program Impact and Deputy Medical Officer with the Foundation March of Dimes. Dr. Jarris, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
It's great to have you. And we will ask all questions and to Dr. Jarris in a moment. And if you have some questions, you can email them at healthchat@voanews.com. So we will discuss preterm birth in a moment. But first, Dr. Steve Wall, Senior Director of Technical Leadership for the Saving Newborn Lives program at Save the Children, elaborates on why preterm birth is high in some developing countries.
Yes, this is high in countries. I think the leading three countries where a huge proportion of the world's preterm births are occurring are India, Nigeria, and Pakistan. And there are really a set of complex factors that lead to, first of all, preterm birth, that is delivery at less than 37 weeks gestational age, with term, of course, being 40 weeks. And then there are issues around when those babies are born. Are they getting the kind of care, the essential newborn care, and then some of the specialized care that is required, since these babies are uniquely vulnerable and have special needs? For me, the answer is ultimately a couple of things. One is the priorities that are given in countries and by global agencies to this issue. So to some extent, it reflects a previous invisibility of this as a public health issue. And then is the health systems themselves need to be able to respond, even in just basic ways, to deliver the kinds of services that are both preventive, but also in terms of just providing basic essential care, and then some level of modest specialized care for these infants that can make all the difference in whether or not a preterm baby lives or dies.
So again, Dr. Jarris, thank you so much for joining us. So up until how long is a baby considered premature? Is it 37 weeks on average?
Yes, 37 weeks is considered to be the time in which babies no longer call premature. But 39 weeks is probably the time we do wish babies to be born, where they have had all the opportunity they need, 39 to 40 weeks, to mature their brains and lungs and be healthy children.
Mm-hmm. And now, at what point, up to how many months, is it impossible for a baby to survive prematurity?
Well, in a developed country, usually we look at about 24 weeks or 6 months, but children can sometimes survive earlier. However, that's really a decision to be made between the provider and the parent based on their possibility of surviving and the kind of disabilities they would have if they survived. So usually we look at around 24 weeks as, in general, the earliest time a baby will survive.
Mm. And you talked about the survival rate, which is obviously better in developing countries. And earlier we had this soundbite from the senior technical director from Save the Children, Dr. Wall, who spoke about the toll in developing countries. Now, can you enlighten us further in terms of how much of a burden preterm birth is in developing countries?
Yes, it's a considerable burden. One of the things I'd like to reinforce that Dr. Wall said is I really don't believe that either in this across the world or even in the United States that we take this problem as serious as we need to. The rates of preterm birth are too high, and in many cases we can prevent them. Even in those instances in which we can, quote, save a baby in a neonatal intensive care unit, it's far better to not have a preterm birth to begin with. So I think both in a nation here in the U.S., but across the world, we have to become much more serious about decreasing these preterm births.
Because really, and it's a good point you're making, because premature birth, it seems to be accepted. It's part of everyday life, right? So a lot of times we don't think about the consequences that could arise when a baby is preterm, especially those of us who are fortunate to live in developing countries. But it is really a serious issue that needs to be to be addressed.
Yes, I agree. I think there is a level of acceptance at the rates as high as they are. And even speaking for the United States, where our rate is among the highest of the developed nations, we tend to accept that also, as opposed to looking at other developed nations to say, why are our rates higher? Mm-hmm. In addition, there are disparities between different racial and ethnic groups that people tend to accept as something natural when, in fact, there isn't a genetic basis for it, and it isn't natural or necessary. But across the world, I think this is true, that we need to be more serious, we need to prevent it. And that is, of course, more challenging in developed nations than in developed nations.
So you say that there seems to be some disparities, and there is no genetic link associated with it. So why do some women give birth prematurely as opposed to others?
Well, you know, there are many factors associated with it, and we tend to look at the lifestyle. One of the most important things is the mom healthy, as healthy as possible before she gets into pregnancy? You know, there's increasing rates of obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, in women of reproductive age. Smoking is still very prevalent. And in some cases, domestic violence can impact this. We also, very important, is the ability to plan a pregnancy. Many pregnancies are unplanned, and that means a young woman may not finish school or may not finish vocational training or get a job. She may not have the social support she needs. And even among women as they get older, an unplanned pregnancy could mean that they haven't had an opportunity to get their high blood pressure or diabetes in control. So we really think the really important thing is to take this life cycle approach to make sure women of reproductive age are as healthy as possible and that they have the ability to plan a pregnancy so that they are in a position to take the best care of their baby. Nutrition, of course, is also strongly linked to preterm birth. Inadequate nutrition mm-hmm. can cause anemia, or the mom may be underweight or, frankly, overweight and obese. And so really diet is a critical factor also.
So let's talk about the health problems that premature babies can have after birth. I know there are several. If you can walk us through some of the most critical.
Sure. Of course, it depends on what point the baby is born, but sure. Very frequently the baby's lungs are not mature. And that means that they need to be supported, sometimes with a breathing tube or being intubated and having oxygen placed in through the tube. Also, sometimes they'll need something called a surfactant, which will stabilize the lungs and the airway so they don't collapse. Temperature regulation can also be a real problem for babies where their brain is not fully matured, their bodies have not matured, and so they can't maintain their own temperature, which is why an incubator may be important to them. Mm-hmm. Feeding can be a problem if they're not mature enough, so they may need a feeding tube. Infection can be a problem if they're not mature enough. So there's many very basic things required to live that the babies often need to be supported on if they're born prematurely.
Do all premature babies need incubators?
No, it really depends on the age of the baby, and also it depends on the baby's ability to maintain its own temperature. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is important is if there isn't an incubator is something called kangaroo care, mm-hmm. And that is when the baby is held directly on the mother's chest, both skin to skin, so that the mother's warmth can support the baby. We find that's a very important technique to support babies and the mom's bonding to the baby.
Interesting. And I am familiar with the kangaroo care, which it really is promoted in many places in Africa that I know of. So yes. Are you saying, or is it a practice that is also promoted in a developed country such as the United States?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
March of Dimes has a program called NICU Family Support, where we have staff in the neonatal intensive care units to work with the moms and the families. And one of the things we really encourage is for the NICU to adopt a kangaroo care policy as early as possible so that the mom can support the baby on her chest.
So let's explain a little more what a kangaroo care is and what it entails. How old should the baby be to be able to receive that care, and what does the mother do really?
So it really, the baby needs to be stable enough that the baby can come out of the incubator. Mm-hmm. We have seen babies that are still on a breathing tube on their mom's chest, or may have a feeding tube for nutrition. That really is something that has to be customized to the baby by the doctor taking care of them. But the mom basically will take the baby and place the baby between her breasts on her bare chest, where the baby's also not wearing clothing. And at that point, you know, cover up to just hold the baby and support the baby. It also can encourage breastfeeding, which is very healthy, and babies will do much better with nursing whenever possible. So it's very simple. It doesn't take equipment, a minimal amount of instruction. When the baby's stable, and it's a very effective way to support a baby.
Mm. So obviously this is something that will be encouraged in an area where women would lack the basic needs to care for their baby, their premature babies. But in the case where there is no incubators or critical medical needs, medical care for the needs of the child, what can a woman do to help her premature baby? For example, in some villages, there are midwives who deliver babies. If in a case where the baby is premature, what can they do, really?
Well, one of the important things in that case is for the midwives to be trained to know when there may be a high-risk pregnancy, and to try to take the moms that are high risk and transport them to a higher level of care, like a hospital. And of course, that means the midwife needs to identify that mom, so there's some training there. There also needs to be a transportation way to transport the mom and baby to the hospital. And in the muddy season, that may be very difficult in some places. And then, of course, there needs to be a place to transfer the mom to, some kind of a higher skilled area. But, you know, midwives can be extremely skilled delivering many babies. But for all of us, and I'm a physician also, we all need to know our limits and when we need to call in help.
Okay. All right, Dr. Jarris, we are going to take a short break now, and we will continue our conversation after the breaks. And we appreciate your time with us. So to the listeners, stick around. We'll have more with Dr. Paul Jarris in a moment. But now it's time for a short break and the news with Eva Yuma.
The World Health Organization declared recently that the Zika virus no longer constitutes an international emergency. The WHO's Emergency Committee, which declared an international public health emergency in February, says the virus still represents a, quote, significant and enduring public health challenge. Carried by mosquitoes, the Zika virus can cause the rare birth defect microcephaly and other neurological disorders in infants and adults. Zika has spread to more than 60 countries and territories since the current outbreak was identified last year in Brazil. The WHO says it will continue to work on the outbreak through a robust program. A new report finds that more people with HIV than ever before are receiving life-saving treatment, leading to fewer deaths from AIDS-related illnesses around the world. The report says just over 1 million people died from AIDS-related causes last year, compared to twice that number a decade ago. UNAIDS says this is because of the large number of people with HIV, 18.2 million, who now have access to antiretroviral treatment. The agency also says the world is on track to reach the target of 30 million people with treatment by 2020. And finally, a new study published in the medical journal Depression and Anxiety suggests that very stressful events affect the brains of girls and boys in different ways. The research team from Stanford University School of Medicine scanned the brains of 59 children aged 9 to 17. One group had suffered at least one episode of severe stress or trauma, while a second group had not. A part of the brain linked to emotions and empathy, called the insula, was found to be particularly small in girls who had suffered trauma. But in traumatized boys, the insula was larger than usual. The researchers say this could explain why girls are more likely than boys to develop post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing preterm birth. And joining us via phone from Washington, D.C. is Dr. Paul Jarris, Senior Vice President for Maternal and Child Health Program Impact and Deputy Medical Officer with March of Dimes. And we are going to talk about what the foundation is doing. But before we do that, Mary in Ghana has a question. She wants to know, do premature babies grow up with certain health problems?
So thank you for that question. It is not all premature babies do. Some do quite well. Okay. But others often have problems with lungs, such as asthma, based on the lungs not being mature when they're born. Others may have some vision problems. Some have developmental delays where they don't develop as quickly as other babies. And of those, some catch up and some don't. So it is a high-risk situation in any case, but we do hope for the best. Now, premature babies also have a little more trouble in the very premature in school with math and other performances, intellectual performances like that. So I guess the question is, if you have a premature baby, do as much as you can to raise the baby, stimulate the baby, and they should do quite well. But recognize it may take some extra effort at a baby who wasn't premature than a baby who wasn't premature.
Okay. And Chinyere in Nigeria wants to know, is it possible to know if a baby will be born premature?
So that's a very good question. The biggest risk factor for prematurity is a prior preterm birth. So if you had one premature birth already, then you should make sure your provider knows that. And there are medicines like progesterone shots that can help to prevent another premature birth. There are other risk factors such as high blood pressure or diabetes, or even obesity that can affect the chances of preterm birth. And those are things that, therefore, we really want to make sure are well controlled before pregnancy. So, the best thing to do is to plan the pregnancy for when you're most healthy and work with your provider to minimize all your risks.
Okay. Now, when a woman gives birth prematurely, is she faced with some health challenges because she didn't go all the way to the end of her pregnancy?
It would probably depend upon why there was a preterm birth.
Okay.
In some cases, in many cases, we don't know why. It can be a perfectly healthy mom, and she has a preterm birth. And we may never know biologically why that happened. For other women, if they have high blood pressure, particularly if it develops into a condition called preeclampsia, that can lead to a premature birth in which the mother then, with preeclampsia herself, can be in quite a bit of danger. But after she recovers, may have a higher chance of heart disease at a later date. women who develop diabetes during pregnancy are at a much higher rate of diabetes later, and sometimes that can lead to premature birth. So, again, the best thing to do is to be as healthy as possible and plan the pregnancy for the best time for you to have a baby.
Okay. Now, when a baby is delivered prematurely, what is the most critical need at that time for that baby? Is it oxygen, for example, or does it depend on the baby's developmental stage?
Yeah, it would depend on the developmental stage, but clearly we need to make sure that the baby does have enough oxygen and is breathing. And secondly, that the baby's heart is beating appropriately. And third, that the temperature is the baby's temperature is maintained so that they don't become too cold. So those are very basic things that give more time then to assess things like nutrition and other ways to support the baby.
Okay. Now, you talked about the fact that it's a critical issue that needs to be addressed. Now, the problem is there's a high number of premature babies around the world. Let's look at solutions, and let's talk about what March of Dimes is doing in addressing this issue. Can you tell us about the mission in general and how this is being addressed?
Sure. So the March of Dimes mission is to prevent prematurity, infant mortality, and birth defects. And we are working a number of ways on that. In the international sphere, we are very engaged with research globally to try to find some of the causes as well as treatments for prematurity. The March of Dimes was involved with the World Health Organization in publishing something called Born Too Soon, which was the first really global document illustrating the problem and how frequent the problem of prematurity is. And that document also set really the standard for how prematurity is tracked across the world. In our research area, we're doing some very important basic science research. It may surprise your listeners to know we don't know what causes labor. Why does labor start at any given time? Therefore, we don't know why does it start in one woman prematurely and another woman at full term. And so we're using a number of different scientists across universities to study why it happens. We know that certain stressors, whether that is environmental stress or it could be poverty, it could be a war, or in some cases racial stress, that cause can lead to prematurity. And we have scientists looking at that. We don't believe it's the genes that are different. We believe it's actually how the genes get turned on and off. And we're trying to find that mechanism for turning genes on and off. So quite a bit of basic research to understand this. Domestically within the United States, we have March of Dimes maternal child health staff in each of the states. And we are working with communities to understand prematurity in their states and communities, to identify the risk factors and to address those risk factors, whether they be social determinants such as housing, economics, or whether they are known medical interventions that are not being implemented. And so we are trying to make those improvements here also.
Okay, very interesting. So then what are some of the challenges that the foundation faces in terms of really trying to address this issue and domestically and also internationally?
Yeah, so internationally we work through partnerships with multiple other organizations. And as Dr. Wall said earlier and commented, I think awareness is a very big issue for us. So November 17th of every year, we have Global Prematurity Day. People may have seen it where governments and different organizations, NGOs, really try to highlight the issue of prematurity. It's a good time for them to announce policies or funding, and that just occurred several days ago. But I think that the issue of resources is a tremendous issue for many of the developing nations. And how, with limited resources, can we optimize the ability of a mom to have a full-term baby, and in the event it's a premature baby, really optimize the chance of that baby doing well?
Yeah, resources is definitely always a challenge in many cases for many, many issues. Now, let's talk about policies, given that awareness is a challenge, to what extent can policies be shaped to help in creating more awareness and even generating resources?
Yes, I think for health systems to understand, whether those are governmental health systems or private health systems in the U.S., the scope of this problem, and as I said before, we really need a lifestyle approach. We can't fix things in 9 months. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at how healthy are young women and women of reproductive age, and are they getting the proper nutrition and activity, and are they in safe environments? Do they have access to health care and are receiving health care? Do they have access to contraception so they can plan their pregnancies and have a pregnancy when they're healthy at the optimal time? There's lots of policies behind that in terms of health systems. It's also important to look at the overall system of care. We, as you mentioned before, some people may be delivering in a village with a nurse midwife or a midwife, and are those midwives well-trained, and can we support them? Mm-hmm. Do we have a way to identify someone at high risk? Is there a transport system to get them to care? And then is there a higher level of care where they can go and be referred to? All that involves policy, from educational policy. It involves agricultural policy on feeding women. It involves transportation in terms of moving the women to a higher facility, and clearly all the health policy to make sure you have a competent hospital to receive a woman that's at risk.
Most definitely. Now, how do you choose the partners you work with? You mentioned that you work with local partners. How do you select them? And also, do you have programs specific in some specific African countries?
Within the U.S., we have a number of long-term partners. Marsh Dunn has been around over 75 years. As you imagine, the obstetricians, the pediatricians, the public health organizations, and the insurance companies, both public and private in this country. And I think that we are partnering with other people to do the work. We are not directly doing work in other nations at this point. We'd love to, but we don't have the resources right now.
Okay.
However, the March of Dimes, there's a number of things that we have supported with regard to research. For example, the surfactant that is given to babies that are born premature and their lungs need stabilization, that's something the March of Dimes supported research on. Our research does spread globally.
Okay.
We're not on the ground in other countries at this point.
Okay, so Dr. Jarris, what is the takeaway really when it comes to the awareness message here? What is it to know about preterm birth that perhaps people people ignore, or they need to really get?
Yeah, so I think in terms of stimulating interest in the policymakers, as we talked about, 15 million babies are born preterm every year. Over a million babies die every year from preterm birth and its complication, and it is the biggest killer of children under age 5. So if you think about how much attention we put to infectious diseases or cancer or heart disease for the biggest killers, we don't put near as much attention into preterm birth and prematurity as we'd expect, given that it's the biggest killer. And it's very important for government and systems to look systematically at all the way from the village to the hospital. What is the system that ensures a mom gets the care she needs when she needs it, and the baby gets the care when the baby needs it?
Okay.
But for individual people, don't smoke, eat well, be healthy, and plan your pregnancy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jarris. A nice way to end this. We appreciate your time. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you very much.
Okay. And that was Dr. Paul Jarris. We thank him. He is the Senior Vice President with Maternal and Child Health Program Impact with March of Dimes. I'm your host, Lenor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi and Eva Yuma for the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.